if you're a grandparent, a mentor mom, or even if you have the potential to be a grandparent someday, then tune in to hear the impact that my grandmother had on my journey to Jesus and the seeds that were planted that the Holy Spirit grew that ultimately led to my salvation. Hey, professional lady, welcome to the Bold Faith and Fashion Podcast. Do you want to look polished when you're on the clock and put together when you're not? Are you ready to streamline and customize your closet so that every piece you own looks amazing on your right now body? Most of all, do you want to confidently stand out and point others to Jesus? Hey, I'm Ashleyana, and I too used to struggle with my closet and my confidence to stand out as a Christian woman. Most stylists will tell you that your beauty shines through when you know how to dress the outside, but what I found is that as a daughter of King Jesus, we are called to shine from the inside out in how we dress and how we act out who we believe we are. When we do this, dressing goes from look at me to look at him. On this podcast, I focus on putting on Christ before putting on an outfit. I also use my 10 plus years of styling expertise to teach you how to build a business to casual capsule wardrobe using my core style method. Grab a hot coffee and tune in while you get ready for work to turn up your shine. Are you sick of settling when it comes to your wardrobe? Are you among the 62% of women who rage at her wardrobe because most of your closet doesn't fit your right now body or lifestyle? Do you feel guilty about your body? And do you worry nothing looks good on you? Are you tired of riding the disorienting hamster wheel of what's trending? And are you tired of wondering, okay, what styles actually look good on my body right now for the lifestyle that I have right now? And what pieces can I wear that will complement and enhance the beauty that God has given me? Are you ready to learn once and for all how to sort through the chaos of your closet and the never-ending clothing, jewelry, accessory options at the store? If your answer is yes, I'm inviting you to the only style training event that gives all the glory to God. And in this workshop, you'll be among other professional Christian women who are ready to ditch their overstuffed closets and low confidence for a closet with less clothes, but more outfits and a confidence in the beauty that God has given to you. It is called Bold Faith and Fashion Core Style Training. Feel confident in your clothes. It's a one-day workshop, and it's happening live April 4th at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. When you register before March 28th, you will receive your free ticket to my workshop and access to special early bird bonuses, like my brand new 4-core style guide and my 5-minute Sunday best outfit guide. Both of these guides are short, simple, and to the point with visuals to help you save time getting dressed and to help you thoughtfully eliminate pieces in your wardrobe that are not serving you. If you're looking for a faith-centered styling system with truth-based support to ensure that your wardrobe has zero useless pieces and that your self-confidence is Christ-centered, all you need to do is go to bit.ly/getdressedfast. That's bit.ly/getdressedfast, all lowercase, all one word, and register on that landing page. I'll see you inside. The title of today's episode is Your Age Matters, The Power of a Christian Grandparent, My Journey to Jesus. And really what I mean when I state that your age matters is not that it matters what age you are, just that you matter at any age. And this statement is perfectly encapsulated by the impact that my grandmother had on me and my journey to Jesus. And that is what I'm sharing with you today. And the way that I have set this up is I structured it the same way I built it out for you on episode 81. So if you haven't already written out your testimony and answered those three questions with the writing prompts that go with them, go ahead and listen to episode 81 when you're done listening to this episode, because you are going to find it to be so impactful and helpful to have answered those questions and had that time with the Lord and had that time to explore really how is it that God was working throughout your life to bring you to Him, because He says that He leaves the 99 to find the one. And at one point in your life, you were the one that He went out and He sought because He wanted to bring you home. And so, without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and share with you my journey to Jesus. And what I'm really going to do is, because I mean, when you answer those writing prompts that I had you go through 2 weeks ago, there's going to be a lot of different things. But what I did is I picked out, based on Holy Spirit's guidance, the biggest factors in my faith journey. And the first thing that really helped lead me to Jesus was actually a person. And that person was my grandmother. Up until I was about 10 years old, we lived near my grandmother. And I have so many precious memories with her where she is reading a Bible story with me and I'm sitting next to her on the couch and I'm asking her questions about the Bible story and I'd ask her why. And I was very inquisitive about the different biblical narratives that were being read to me. And I remember her being really patient with me and asking me and letting me know that these Bible stories are based out of scripture, this Bible, and she would show me the Bible. And as I got older, I noticed that she was going to Bible studies in the evening. And I really had this hunger for God's word, for His truth. And so I have many memories of actually being called upon to read out loud or even raising my hand to read out loud scripture when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. The other things that were really impactful is she would bring me to the potlucks where I would see the community of believers and how they interacted with one another. And I always enjoyed going to these potlucks. And I always enjoyed getting to put on a nice dress with grandma. And I just have all of these beautiful memories surrounding her faith that she was sharing with me. The thing that made the biggest impact was once we picked up and moved away from my grandmother, we moved several states away, because of reading from scripture, because of her sitting down and reading Bible stories with me and taking me to Bible studies in the evenings, I knew that Jesus existed. I knew that I could pray to Jesus. And that is foundationally what stuck with me into my teenage years and my young adult years, which it took me until I was about 21 to really submit my life to Christ. But I'll come back to that. So that foundationally was the most important seeds that were planted for me in my journey to Jesus by my grandmother. And so this is just an encouragement to say that if you are a grandmother or you ever will be a grandmother someday, how big of an impact you can have when you read scripture with your grandchildren, when you include them in your faith, when you have these conversations, because that's really what it was, you guys. It wasn't just her taking me to church. It was actually the discussions that we had, the questions that I would ask her, and that dialogue that we shared together. Now, these weren't the only seeds of faith or truth that were planted in my life on my way to accepting Jesus when I was 21. There were also some friendships that the Lord planted into my life. And one of them, that still really boggles my mind in a good way, was not even a very, very close friend. It was just someone who was very kind to me in my early high school years and who had a completely different perspective on dating than anyone else that I knew. Her family was a family of faith, or is a family of faith. And there was this boy who had a crush on her, and we were having a discussion about it. And she said, you know, I'm not really looking to date because I want a date to get married. And because I'm a freshman in high school, it just doesn't make sense to me. So while I'm flattered that this person has a crush on me, it really just is not something I'm looking to do anything about at this time. And as a 13, 14-year-old, hearing that from a fellow 13 or 14-year-old, that was pretty impactful to me. It wasn't something I acted on. I still continued in my ways of, you know, being boy crazy, but it really still to this day, I remember that conversation very clearly because it was so completely different and upside down from what every other person my age was saying, thinking, and doing. And again, she attributed it to her faith in Jesus. In college, a girlfriend of mine invited me to Campus Crusades for Christ, where that really started to reawaken that desire to know more about Jesus and to know more about who God is. But it wasn't super strong. Like, it wasn't even me getting into his word again. You know, I hadn't really been in God's word since I was with my grandma. So college years, you're looking at, I'm 18 or 19 at this point. And however, it was something where all of a sudden I was really starting to see my need for Jesus, because at this point, my parents had divorced. I had gone through a very unhealthy high school relationship, unhealthy, ungodly, and I was really feeling empty. And of course, you know, trying to fill what they call that God-sized hole with dating relationships. I had a point in my life where I prayed right after that, as God was starting to reignite that fire inside me, coming after me, right? I'm one of the lost sheep. And I just prayed. I said, Lord, I don't want to date anymore anyone who doesn't want marriage at some point, you know? And this was, again, this was a non-Christian girl's prayer, but I was just asking the Lord for someone that who would love me was what I was asking for. Someone who would love me, who would want to marry me. And 2 weeks later, I met my husband. And this relationship was different. There was a difference in the way that he treated me. He was much more kind and respectful. But again, neither one of us was following Jesus. So we just did not have a relationship that was set up in the way that the Lord would have you have a relationship. And all of y'all know what that means. And the result of that is we ended up getting pregnant with our first child about a year after we were dating, before we had decided to get married. Now, thankfully, by this point, we had really known each other, decided that we wanted to be together. It was more of, okay, well, this is a little out of order. However, okay, let's do this. Let's make it work. And let's get going. Let's get a house. And we did. But here's the thing. It's like when you have a child, you have a baby, you have a house, you start combining finances and you do all these things. It's so hard, as you guys know. The first year of marriage is hard enough as it is, and then let alone add having a baby to the picture. So there was some angst and there was some struggle over who was going to be doing what, house chores when, and I didn't have a job at the time. I was going to college, however, which is kind of where that stress was coming in for me. And my husband just didn't really understand at that time. And so I had asked him to take Amara, that's my oldest, upstairs to give her a bath. And he scoffed at it. And I went to do the dishes and clean things up. And I just was very upset because I was feeling overwhelmed with the amount of work that I had to do as a mom and a college student and as a wife. And I'm washing the dishes and I'm feeling pretty sorry for myself because there's a lot of times that I feel compelled to take on maybe too much responsibility in my life. And this felt like one of those times. And I just thought, and I'm not even talking to the Lord at this point. I'm literally just complaining. And I said to myself, I'm like, why is it that people in my life cannot see when I need help, when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm stressed, that I'm not the only one capable of doing, you know, dishes around the house or whatever. You know, we've all been there as moms and as wives. And I just felt like so unloved. And part of that is because my love language is acts of service. Okay, so that just adds an extra layer. And that's what I said. I was like, no one loves me enough to help me out. And Jesus spoke to me in that moment, in that really ordinary, mundane, whiny moment, may I add. And he said, I love you enough. I died for you. And I immediately was just struck to my core with the realization that I have a Savior and His name is Jesus and I need Him and He loves me and He would do anything for me. And it didn't matter what anyone else did or didn't do, that I could trust Him. It was this culmination of all those seeds that were planted, especially by my grandmother when I was young. That's where a lot of my knowledge came from about Jesus and Scripture and what it says and that truth that came to me in that moment. And then, of course, the small seeds that were planted elsewhere throughout my life. But that was it. That was the pinnacle. That was when I finally surrendered my life over to Jesus. And this is just the first question that I had you guys write out in episode 81, which is how did the Lord lead me to Jesus? And that's how He led me there. He used my grandmother to plant seeds of truth, and then He had other people in my life speak to me different truths or invite me to different events that then eventually all of those seeds sprouted and I gave myself over to Jesus. He pursued me my whole life and I am so, so grateful. Now, because this is already to the 20-minute mark, I'm going to go ahead and do a part 2 weeks from now and finish telling you the different aspects of my faith journey that have really impacted my life and who I am and how I present myself. And then I also would just like to get really real and honest with you what areas the Lord is still sanctifying me in, because the reality is there are a lot of things in me that God is still working on. And I'm really grateful for that. And I think this is the power that we have as believers to create more grace-filled minds and hearts, is to be honest with ourselves in where we are still being sanctified, because then we can extend the grace that we know we are being given in those areas that God is really still working with us on. We can extend that grace to others who also have different aspects of their lives or things that they're working on. We have to live in this middle place where we know we are worthy and we are loved and we are different. We are changed. We are no longer slaves to sin, but also knowing we aren't in our sanctified bodies yet. We aren't perfect yet. We still have areas of darkness that the Lord is bringing to the light. And when we don't sulk in that or become too puffed up in the grace that we've been given, then we can be these balanced believers who extend grace both to ourselves and to others. So I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share my testimony. And Father, I just pray that this impacts somebody. I pray that this gives a person hope about a loved one, or that it empowers someone else to share their testimony. Lord, remind each woman today that no matter what stage of life she is in, she has the power to impact someone's salvation story by planting seeds of faith through the sharing of her testimony and her faith in you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Did you enjoy today's episode? If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with another professional woman who may be praying for the confidence to stand out at work and shine for Jesus? Also, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps me to know that you're getting the encouragement and tools you need to feel confident in who you are and what you're wearing. Want to connect with me sooner than next week when the next episode airs? Join me on Facebook in my free group, Business to Casual Capsule Wardrobe for Professional Women.